Today, we thank you for the good Bible time we've had, Lord, around the Word of God. We thank you for the promise of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, God, today that you'd be glorified and honored in this service, that we'd decrease and that you'd increase. God, again, that we'd be hid and the glory of God would be manifest in this place, that you'd receive the power and the glory and the honor and the majesty and the worship that's due your holy name. I pray, God, now, Lord, that you'd anoint me and quicken me by the power of the Holy Ghost to preach the word of God sent down from heaven. Lord, again, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you send the power of the Holy Ghost to bring conviction of sin and a fear of Almighty God and the fear of the wrath to come and a fear of judgment and eternity without Christ. And God, may men turn, and women turn, and children turn from their sin to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sin, for the mercy of the Lord. And we'll thank you, God, I pray that you'll encourage the hearts of thy people today. And build us up in the most holy faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Take your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Good to see everybody out today. I want to encourage you in the Lord. And thankful that you're here. But I thank God that He's here more than anything else. God wasn't here just be a social gathering. Wouldn't amount to anything. Visitors, we're glad you're here. And I ain't joking you. And regulars, we're awful glad you're here. Amen. I want to say again before I start preaching today that we're not here to play with nobody's soul. Here today, if you're lost, you're going to go to hell if you stay in that condition. You're going to be in the lake of fire forever and ever, and that's not a joke, and that's not scary preacher talk. That's the Word of God. These shall be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. And it's not a joke. So I encourage you to get saved. You need to be saved. You need to be born again by the Spirit of God. And that comes by repentance of sin and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He suffered for your sins on that cross and shed His blood, that He died in your place, your substitute, your Savior, your sacrifice, and that He was buried to take away your sins. And on the third day, bless God, He rose from the dead and He's alive evermore and He can save you. And when He saves you, He'll give you eternal life in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to divert. I've been preaching on the life of John the Baptist, and I woke up this morning and felt that I told Karen, I said, I got to get up. I said, God's changed my message, and I'm going to, anyway, I'm going to get back on that tonight, but this morning I want to preach on a text from Hebrews chapter 12. Let's begin reading at verse number 18 and then through verse number 29. Everybody there say amen. Amen. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched or that burned with fire, nor unto blackness or darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. Now the setting here is a reminder to the Hebrew people of when God gathered them around Mount Sinai, which is a place where the law was given, and that they couldn't even approach that thing lest they die. It represented the holiness of God, the law of God. And He's saying here, and I look at this, verse 20, He said, for they could not endure that which was commanded. Did you know that's still true? There's nobody except Jesus Christ has ever kept the Ten Commandments. Nobody. Every man has sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it still can. And thank God for the commandments. They're holy and they're good. And that they're a schoolmaster to bring you to Jesus Christ. To make you see the holiness of God. To make you see the sinfulness of yourself. And then to make you see the need of a Savior. And the joyous news that there's mercy. Because Jesus kept the law. Died in your place. Now, He said there in verse 20. He said, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. Verse 21. So terrible was the sight that Moses said something. I exceedingly fear and quake. Now, I want to tell you something to you here today. If you're lost, you've never been saved. There's a day coming when you're going to exceedingly fear and quake. Now, you may get so reprobate-minded and you may get so hard and so calloused against God that you may die saying, I don't believe and trust in God. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I promise you this. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And you'll exceeding quake and fear when you face judgment with God. Now, taking that thought on, He comes in verse 22, but you are coming to the Mount Zion. He said, as saints of God, you're not coming to Sinai. Amen. We're coming to Mount Zion, under the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Bless God, we're at Mount Calvary. We're not at Mount Sinai. Now, we've left Sinai. We've left. Jesus kept the law for us. And it's in Him that our righteousness is fulfilled. And now I've come to Calvary where the law has been fulfilled and the righteousness of God has been demanded, righteousness has been met. and I'm justified in Jesus Christ. He said, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to spirits of just men made perfect. Verse 24, this is what we've come to, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel, that old offering of the animals, and amen, and the blood sacrifices, the bullocks and the lambs, Jesus' blood. Those could never take away sin, but Jesus' blood takes away our sin. Look at verse 25. Now here's what he says. As a result of this, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. That's what people are doing. That God speaks to them, they refuse it. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on the earth, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven? I want to tell you something this morning. You may turn away from God and say, I don't want nothing to do with you. I'm not going to be saved. But I want to tell you one thing. There's going to come a day at the end of that, and you're not going to escape. You can't get away from God. God's going to bring your body up out of the ground. I'll tell you, God's going to bring you up to judgment. And you're going to stand before God. And I promise you, your knees are going to be shaken when you stand before God. Look at verse number 26. Whose voice then shook the earth. Now remember, Moses said that being at Mount Sinai made his body quake. He said, I exceedingly quake and tremble. You know what that means? He shook. When we talk about earthquakes, we're talking about the earth shaking. Now he said in verse number 26, whose voice then shook the earth. God just speaks and the earth shakes. Amen. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Verse 27, but this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things. Now here's what's going to happen. God said, I shook the earth at one time, and he said, there's going to come a time when I'm not just going to shake earth, but shake heaven too. And he said, I'm going to shake people's lives. Now listen to me this morning. He said, I'm going to shake it for this reason. Verse number 27, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken. God shakes things to get rid of them. God shakes things to remove them. He said that are shaken, and then look at this, as of things that are made. That, here's the reason. God said, I'm going to shake the stuff off that can be shaken off, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. I want to preach today on things that cannot be shaken. I want to preach on things that cannot be shaken. Verse 28, finish out. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. You know what he's saying there? He's saying, I'm going to show you some stuff that can't be shaken. We're going to receive. We've received a kingdom as believers in Jesus Christ that cannot be shaken. Can't be moved. Let us have grace. Amen. Not works. Not self-righteousness, but let us have grace. Whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, don't turn there this morning, just listen. Verse number 2 says, that ye be not shaken in mind. Think about that. God says, I'm writing some of these things to you, but the fact of it is, it's on the subject of the second coming of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm writing this so you don't get shaken in mind. America's full of people that are shaken in their minds. They're shook up. They're just shaken. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn. They don't know what to do. God, he said, I wrote these that your mind, you can have a mind that's been shaken. Acts chapter 4, verse 31, they were in prayer meeting. The Bible said the place was shaken where they were praying. You can shake things up by prayer. Amen. You can shake a person's life up by praying for them. You pray conviction down on people and you don't give up and you press on. I'm going to tell you, God will shake that man's life. God will shake those people's lives. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 26, you can shake things up by praying and praising. Paul and Silas was in prison, and they got to midnight, and they got to shouting and praising and singing praises to God, and the Bible said that God shook that jail and shook their chains loose from them. If you want to get some chains shaken off your life, I'd encourage you to get to praising and shouting and worshiping God. There'll be some things shake off you that you need shaken off. And then, In Job chapter 4, verse 14, Job said this, for fear of the Lord, my bones did shake. Job, I'll tell you what, I bet you if you've been where Job had been at, your bones might shake too. If you went through what Job had went through, your bones might shake. In Psalms chapter 46 and verse number 3, in the day of the Lord, the Bible said the mountains will shake. In Psalm 69, verse 23, listen to this. The Bible said in the future, the loins of the wicked will shake. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about right here. Your loins are going to shake. You're just so scared. In Psalm 72, verse 16, God shakes fruits, the psalmist David told us, so that the right kind of fruit will stay on the tree. In Isaiah chapter 13, in verse number 13, he said, I will shake the heavens. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 9, he said, I will shake the earth. In Isaiah 14, verse 16, the devil shakes kingdoms. It said literally that in eternity, that people will look on narrowly upon him that shook kingdoms. I want to tell you right now, the devil is shaking America. We're being shook by the devil. There's a shaking that goes on by the devil, but there's also a shaking that goes on by the Lord. You see, if we will not be shaken into revival, we're going to be shaken into judgment. Isaiah 24, verse 18, the Bible said the foundation of the earth is shaken. In Mark chapter 13, verse 24 through 25, during the days of the tribulation, at the end of the great tribulation period, the Bible said that the stars of heaven will fall and the powers in the heavens will shake. In Mark, it says that in Matthew chapter 24, verse 29, the same thing, the powers in heaven shall be shaken. In Luke chapter 21, verse 26, the powers in heaven shall be shaken. If God said three times in the Gospels that this earth and the heavens are going to be shaken, you get ready for a shaking. It's fixing to occur. In Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12 through 17, where the Bible speaks of that time during the tribulation, it does say that the stars will fall from heaven and the heavens will be shaken. In Nehemiah chapter 5 and verse 13, old Nehemiah said all this. He said, I shook my lap and said, so shall God shake out every man from his house and from his labor, shaken out and emptied. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever shook? Have you ever been shaken? I want to tell you there's some kind of shaking to be good for you. The first time I ever drove a car, I never will forget this. My brother, you know, this is kind of, your kids will go out. You get one kid that's got driver's license and he thinks that he needs to be the teacher for the rest of your clan. And one of my brothers got me up here at Norwood one day and I was about, I don't know, 14 or 15, I don't know what it was. But anyway, he said, won't you drive? And well, of course, the one side of me said, well, that'd be great. And the other side said, I ain't never drove in town. And I got out up here to 60 Highway when it was two lane 60 and I knew about people being killed by trucks and stuff down the crossing. And here I pulled up that stoplight and I never will forget my feet went like that. It did. I never will forget that just my feet started shaking when I realized, you know, hey, I'm not down here on the farm driving a pickup truck through the hayfield. I'm up here where there's semis and stuff and I don't know what I'm doing much. I remember back in the year Karen and I were married, 1977. That later that year, Donnie got a job wrecking telephone lines down Texas, about 700-mile line to be wrecked, and give us an opportunity to go down there and make some money. But we had to learn how to climb poles, and I'd never climbed a pole in my life. I don't like heights. I like being low. I'm with you always, says the Lord. Amen. We got these belts, you know, that go around the pole, and these hooks that goes on your boots, and we took off, and I think I got about 15 minutes worth of practice before we headed to Texas. In fact, it was March, and never will forget, went out here outside of town and put the belts and hooks on the first time, and there was ice on one side of the pole, and went up that pole, you know, and man, I thought, I don't know what I'm doing, but when you get to needing money bad enough, you'll do a lot of things you didn't think you could do. I never will forget, I got up down there in Texas, and hadn't been on two or three days, and here's a pole, it was my turn to climb up, and it's a 40-some foot pole. And I never will forget, I got up here about 30-some foot, Bill, and literally I stopped. You know, man, I mean, my heart was racing, and I was like, man, this could be the end of my life. And caring to be a widow at a young age, that'd be a horrible thing, you know. And I never will forget, my knees started shaking up on that tree. They literally started shaking. My knees started shaking. I mean, I got the spooks, you know. And what you don't want to do is look down. That'll get your knees to shaking. You just want to keep looking out like you're on flat ground. And then I remember climbing a pole about 70 foot out in the lake one time. The line went across the lake, and they make them burgers high because they don't want to put one very often. And you climb up the pillars, and then you climb up some more pillars, and then you finally get to the pole in the middle, and you climb up that dude. And I went up there. And if you ever look down a pole when that water's, you ever look down when you're in water, it'll look like that pole's going just like that right there. And if you can shake, you'll start shaking, amen. And then the worst one was on an interstate highway down there, because they got the pole goes across. You got the service road, and then you got the railroad, and then you got the four-lane highway, and then you got another service road. And I don't know how high them poles are. And some little rascal got up there years ago, and he put the telephone wire about that far underneath the electric wire on a double 10-pin. Now, you wonder what a double 10-pin means? That means when you take that wire off and drop it, first of all, you're trying not to get electricity into the wire you're doing. I was up for about 70 feet, and I'm literally sweats just pouring out of my eyeballs, out of my head, out of my ears. I am so scared. I said, if I ever get down from this pole, I'm going back to Missouri and never come to Texas again. And I mean, I was scared to death, because you know why? Because if I pull one of them 10 pins off, that other 10 pin could spin and go right into that electric wire. And I could just feel death right there. You know, you just feel death right there. And you know what? I started shaking. I had to really grab a hold of my mind, and I had to get a hold of myself or get off this pole. Now, here's what I'm saying to you. In Daniel chapter 5, in verse number 5 and 6, old Belshazzar was having a big party. He didn't think he shook about nothing. And he was having a big party one night. And you know what God did? God sent a hand. God sent a hand. You say, what can God do? God can send a hand into your life. And God sent a hand on the wall, and this hand started writing on the wall. That spooked me too. I believe I'd start shaking. And the Bible said that his knees smote against each other when he saw the wreck. He said, your days are numbered. You've had it, Belshazzar. I've written you off. You can't even get saved. Your reprobate went too far. Let me tell you something. When you start facing God, you get scared. Amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. People in America are not scared of God anymore. They don't try to shake about nothing. Oh, the government will take care of me. The Bible said that his countenance changed. His thoughts troubled him. His knees and the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against the other. God was shaking his world. God will shake every life. Now you say, Reggie, why does God shake our lives up? Now you listen to me this morning. I ain't very old. I've lived long enough to have God shake me up several times in my life. And Christians need to know about shaking, because when shaking comes, you got to figure out whether it's from God or from the devil, what you got to do about it when God shakes your life up. I remember a story of a young man whose wife was killed just 2 days before they was going to get married. And it just shook him up so much. He like never got over in his life. He said, why would God take a beautiful woman out of my life? You know, here I wanted to get married, you know, and planned to get married for years, and finally met this wife in my dream, and boom, she gets killed 2 days before our wedding day. Why? And it shook his life up to where, you know what, if you ain't careful, you get so shook up, you don't even know whether there's a God anymore or not. You wonder, is there really a God? Your life can get so shook up, you can get so messed up. You say, Reggie, why does God shake our lives? Number one, he wants to shake off the garbage and the junk out of our lives. Why? You say, well, if God loves me, if God cares about me, why does he allow the shaking to come in my life? Well, I'm going to tell you what, to shake the garbage and junk out of our lives. And I'm going to repeat myself sometimes during this message. But number one, to shake the spiritual junk out of our lives. Number two, to show and reveal us what's real and lasting, what has real value. You see, God shakes a lot of junk. So we're so focused on temporal things and things that we think really amount to something. God has to shake up our whole world to make us realize, you know what, that didn't amount to snap. This is what really counts. Number three, to reveal to us what is eternal and what's temporal. If we don't get shook up, if God doesn't shake our lives up, if we're not careful, we just focus totally on the temporal things, and we don't understand. If God doesn't shake some of that temporal off of us, we'll never get focused eternally like we should be. You say, Reggie, give me proof of that. Did you know that people are far more concerned about their own life insurance policies and about a burial plan than they are eternity? I'm telling you, listen. God will shake you up to the point of where you finally get your focus on what's really important and what really has value to it and what's important. Number four, God shakes up our lives and is shaking my life up to purify my heart. I'm going to tell you something. You think I preach tough? I don't preach tough. Let me tell you something. God here in the last few months has revealed something in my heart that I haven't got the spiritual guts to tell you what God showed me in my own heart. It's so wicked and sorry and low down. God laid my heart out before God shook me up. And he said, I'm going to show you. I'm going to tell you why I'm shaking you up, Reggie. Because if I don't shake you up, you'll never get serious with me like you need to get serious. And you'll never see what you need to see. Because you're on this all the time. You're looking out here. But when I shake your life up, you'll start seeing things that I see and that's important in your life. And God showed me something. Man, I tell you, it made me hit the deck. It made me get my face on the floor. And it made me admit that he's right. God, you're right. That's how my heart really is. That's been some of my trouble all my life. Let me tell you something. God can shake you up to, you know, he wants you to see what he sees, not what you think you are. He wants you to see. You see, God's trying to get you ready for judgment before judgment ever comes. He'd rather that we judge ourselves, that we be not judged there. He'd rather us get rid of our sin now than have to deal with it at the judgment bar of God. He'd rather us get it in the blood. God also shakes our world up to rid us of our carnal and worldly security. Did you know what we'll do? We'll put our trust in carnal things, worldly things that don't provide security. And God will shake us up to find all that stuff shook loose, and we don't have those things to prop us up anymore. We don't have those things to trust in. And now all of a sudden we really do need God, and we begin to see that God is really all that we have. He also shakes us up to get us to the truth that we can only and exclusively trust in the Lord. You know there's really nobody else in this world you can trust except Jesus Christ. You just well get that down. Oh, you can look over at your spouse and say, oh, I trust you. Can I tell you they're made out of the same rotten flesh you're out of? Did you know that God really does? You know, oh, I know and I understand and this glad. Thank God there can be some trust and all that kind of thing. But I'm going to tell you the honest truth. None of us are trustworthy. Only God is trustworthy in the end. You say, what will God shake in our lives? I'll just give you a few things. Number one, God will shake the self-righteousness in our souls. If there's anything God's still working on me, it's self-righteousness. Let me tell you what it takes God years to burn the stinking, filthy, nasty self-righteousness out of our souls. We're so full of self-righteousness. You know what God does? God just allows things to come into our life and shake us up so much to make us see we're nothing without Jesus. That all of our righteousness is those filthy, stinking rags. The best day that we've all, you know what? I got this, picked this up last night. You know what it said on Isaiah? It says, all of our righteousness is filthy rags. I'd always talk that just personally. You know what that means? All our, that's plural. That means all the righteousness of this church all fit together. God says, none but filthy rags. If our righteousness, the best day we've ever had, is filthy rags, what? My God in heaven is the worst of it. God allows shaking in your life to come to shake off that self-righteousness. It's what he does in the law. See, that's what Paul was writing in the Hebrews there about. He's bringing the law into effect because you know what the law will do? The law will shake the self-righteousness off of you. You see, as long as you think you're a pretty good person, you really don't see a need of being saved. As long as you compare yourself to other people, you think maybe you are going to make it to heaven. Let me tell you something. You're not making it to heaven on your own goodness. You're not going to make it to heaven. I don't care how good a person you are. You need to be saved. You need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. You need the mercy of God. That's the only thing that will save you. I'm saying this to you today, this, that the law, you say, if you stake off down through them 10 commandments, thou shalt not murder. Jesus said, if you hate your brother in your heart, you're a murderer. What's that make you? A stinking murderer. If you lied, you ever told less than truth, you ever deceived anybody, you ever put on to be something you're not, you're a stinking, filthy, nasty liar going to hell. You say, well, that's not too bad. Everybody else lies. It don't matter that everybody else lies. You lied, I lied. We're worthy of death before Almighty God. You see, God uses the law to shake up your soul. That's why preachers won't preach the law. I want to tell you something. An abomination occurred yesterday in the nation, in America. Houston, Texas, the first major city, elected a sodomite mayor down that town. You listen to me, you listen well. If Joel Osteen has 20,000 people down there in that church, if I've ever heard him preach against sin or preach against sodomites, I ain't never heard it. I'm going to tell you why Houston elected a sodomite mayor. It's because the preachers of Houston are not preaching the law of God. You listen to me this morning, people are not being, they're being soft soaked. I had a man call me this morning and said, Reggie, down here in Texas, he said, you don't hear preaching against nothing. It's all good, glad, oh, we're going to be better, sweetie pie music. Sweetie pie preaching. I'm going to tell you what, this country is going to die and go to hell because we wouldn't preach on the law of God that made men see the holiness of God, the sinfulness in themselves, the righteousness of God, and their need of mercy. And the law of God will shake your soul up. You just take the Ten Commandments, you just dwell, and then you take it to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. You take what he said and lift the spirit of the law up and find out how righteous you are. God will shake your life up. This country is full of religious people. This country is full of self-righteous religious leaders who don't even know how to tell the people they're preaching to how to be saved. They're so full of self-righteousness. The law will awaken you to see the need of Jesus Christ. It'll shake your soul up. You say, what else does God shake? God will shake your finances up. Can I tell you what I believe with all my heart? God, I believe, I talk about prosperity and all that stuff. You know what I think God would rather do? I think God would rather make you broke and save you than make you rich and let you die and go to hell. That's what I think. You know the truth about it is God will use your finances to shake you up. The truth about it is we'll pray more when we're broken. We pray when we're doing good. Got to make your world collapse. All of a sudden, you can't pay for this, and you can't pay for that, and you can't pay for this. You know, there's people that God has called to the ministry, people that God's called to the mission field. People God has wanted to get a hold of their life, but they will not do it. And God has to just shatter their financial world before he ever gets their attention. Let me tell you something going on in this country. There's going to be a shaking. God says, I'll shake your finances so you learn not to trust in these riches. I'll shake your finances so you learn what true riches are. I know it's not very theologically correct, and I didn't say politically correct. I said it was not very biblically correct, so don't get me wrong. But that movie, It's a Wonderful Life, has got a lot of truth in it. I know the theological aspect of it's a big mess and a big kind of joke, but they're trying to get a point across as this, that if money can fix your problem, you ain't got one. He's about ready to kill himself and jump off the bridge over $8,000. And the idea was that God is trying to teach this man that your riches is not in your job or your bank or the lack of money or the abundance of money. Your riches is in your faith. Your riches is in your family. Your riches is in your health. Your riches is in the things that you can't buy with money. That's what he's trying to teach us. I'm saying this to you, God will shake you up. I like that saying, if money can fix your problem, you ain't got one. Amen? My faith was shaken. I will tell you this. I've been financially shaken before. I've got on my knees whenever opportunity seemed to be that close to fixing the financial problems in my life in the past. Begged God to give us the work and to show Himself strong on our behalf. And you know what? God said no. And when God says no, when you see it right there almost in your hand, if that don't shake your faith, I literally wrote it in my journal. God, what do I tell my kids? God, what do I tell people? I've told people they can trust in You, You'll come through. Well, bless God, He did and has come through, but just not my time, my way. You know what? I had to get on my face this morning and ask God to forgive me about that. I've done it two or three times, but He showed me deeper. Reggie, do you think there might have been something I was trying to show you and show your children and show your family and show your generations? And if I would have let you have that, if I'd have done that for you, there's things spiritually that you'd have never learned. Might have been the ruination of your family. You ever think of that? That's why He said, in everything, give thanks. God will also shake your world by health. I appreciate Brother Dale. Man, I'm so glad he's here today and with a smile on his face and his hand up worshiping God. Amen. I want to tell you something, but God can use your health to shake up your world. I've been praying for Brother and Sister Brown up there in Washington now with his wife diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. You know, I walked in my room the other day. I said, God, why Brother Brown? I said, Lord, it could have been me. I'll be honest with you, when I ain't feeling good, my spirituality sinks. When I ain't feeling good and I hurt and it's painful, and when I'm weak and down and tired, I'll tell you, my spirituality ain't so swift. God, you know what God's doing? He's shaking me. He's shaking that junk out, showing me I ain't very spiritual. You ain't so stout. You're not so spiritual. You may be a preacher, but you ain't much. God will take the health and shake you up. Been a lot of people got saved when the health got bad. God shook that unbelief off their soul. God took that arrogancy out of them. They got news they might be dying. They got interested in hearing about how Jesus died for them on the cross. God shake up your health. I'll tell you something else God is shaking up with health. God's shaking up relationships with health. You get to thinking about dying and maybe you want to get some things right with some people you ain't got right. God shake up your world with it. God will shake up your world not only with health, but God will shake up your world with the death of a loved one. I'll tell you one thing, sometimes people dying can shake you up. I say this to you, it needs to sometimes. And God wants to use death to shake us up and make us see our immortality. I mean, Jay, what you walk into a funeral home and them kids walking in there, you know what they see? They see flowers everywhere. They see a puffed up, a powdered up body. And they hear a little flowery message and it's just about this, that, and other, nothing. And no talk about verity of truth of heaven and hell. And no fact that this person is either in heaven or they're in hell, depending on what they've done with Jesus Christ. And kids are just sitting there just flopping around. When somebody dies, kids and everybody ought to think, I'm going to die too. And where will I be when I die? You ought to let death shake you up, amen, and examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. But I tell you what God does with shaking things up. He'll shake up our personal character. And I'll tell you, apart from being saved, this is where God is dealing with me, seeing like on a non-ending basis. I've already told the Lord 1,000 times I'll never live long enough for God to do everything that needs to be done in my soul. But I will tell you this again, God shakes up our personal character. He'll put shaking into our life to deal with our selfishness. Our selfishness. I'll tell you what, if most of you men's like me, you're just a selfish animal. Apart from the grace of God, everything's about you. We want our wives to bring us a glass of water. We want our wives to do this and our wives to do that, wait on us hand and foot. And if we're not careful, it's just nothing but selfishness. Everything's about me in the end. I'm telling you, God will shake you up and turn your heart around from being a selfish husband to be a serving husband. A husband that cares about his family and out there. And I'm not trying to paint it out, but I'm telling you what, it'll return manhood to this country when men once again become spiritual leaders instead of having a selfish heart, have a serving heart. God will shake up our personal character and reveal the pride that's in us and get it off. I'm going to tell you something. I've had an awful problem with pride. I'll tell you, an awful problem with pride. Still have it. I don't know what God will have to do to shake the pride out of my life. Everything God ever does, I get proud about it. I get proud about God's grace. How can you be proud about God's grace? I can do it. You know? I mean, in all honesty, God saves you, you get proud about that. Bless God, I ain't going to heaven. God sanctifies you, you know, and gives you some convictions, you know. And I mean, some of you used to dress like Jezebel. Now you dress like a godly woman. Bless God, I dress right. Now you're proud about it. You know, I mean, we're just that way, aren't we? And God just keeps working on us and shaking off that pride. God shakes off our self-righteousness. You know what? God will deal. If you've got envy and jealousy in you, God will shake that stuff out. I mean, He'll shake your world. He'll make you to where you're not envious of anybody. You're glad to have what you just like that old, like, oh, what's the name of that movie? It's a Wonderful Life. I tell you, when he got back, he's just glad to have his arms around his kids. He didn't care about some $8,000 out yonder. You know what? If you want to have a Merry Christmas this year, I'm going to tell you something. You forget about all them problems and all that junk out there, and you get start seeing what's real in life and what can be shaken off and what cannot last. The things that can't be shaken is the things that you'll wrap your arms around. How about that covetousness? You want everything everybody in the world's got. I'll tell you what, if you'd be happy if nobody give you nothing for Christmas. God's been shaking on me for a long time. Trying to shake off anger. Jesus said, you know not what spirit you're of. Oh, they were spiritual. They said, God, you're going to call fire out of heaven and kill them. Jesus said, you know what your spirit you got in you? It's a spirit of anger. Anybody goes against your grain, you want them to suffer for it. Even when you stand up for righteousness, you do it with an angry spirit. Speaking the truth in love, the Bible said. I pray God to raise up. Oh, we need to raise up some candidates that can speak the truth in love. That's what'll work. Impatience. I had to call a guy this morning, ask him to forgive me for a sharp, short spirit on the telephone the other day. He called me on the telephone the other day, and a little problem, you know, and I kind of got short. You know, he just called me at the wrong time. Doesn't he understand that I've got other things on my mind, other things need to be done, so I was talking to him and his problems. You know what he did? I just said, listen, God prompted me this morning. My spirit wasn't right toward you, and I didn't speak right toward you. I need you to forgive me. Would you forgive me? He said, Reggie, I sure would. I could tell you some other things he said to me, but that would be doing it in pride. So anyway, I better not tell you. That's supposed to be a joke. Anyway, and bitterness. God revealed to me, He's shaking some things up. I asked God, you know, why are you shaking it? He said, Reggie, you got some bitterness in you needs to be shaken out of you. You got some bitterness needs to be shaken. You know, God, you say, sometimes all we're doing is saying, God, why are you shaking my life? God's saying, I'm conforming you to the image of my Son, Jesus Christ. I'm getting the junk out of you that'll kill you. Junk out of you that'll hurt you. Junk out of you that'll be passed on to your kids and grandkids. Junk out of you that's destroying you. The unforgiveness and the lack of mercy and the critical spirit. And most of all, what God's, I think, over the years has tried to shake out of my life is a lack of love. Boy, if we just love, it'd fix a lot of that other junk, amen? Love thinketh no evil. Love endureth all things. God's always reminding me, Reggie, the greatest sin you've ever committed is not loving. Not loving me and not loving your neighbor. You say, Reggie, God does shake, and why does He shake, and what does He shake, but how does He shake our lives? As I said, this may be a little bit repetitive, but I want to say again, He'll use trials and temptations and persecutions to shake your life. I could not help but think of Brother Johnson from Haiti. Run across him up here at Brother Boyd's up here at that camp meeting, and that's one of the reasons God has used. I don't know why God uses that camp meeting up there just to do something in my life year after year for 20-some years. I mean, every year I say, God, 6 hours, and I'm tired. And I go up there, and it's like God says, I always got more for you than you've got for them. And that man preached up there for about 5 minutes, really just kind of gave a brief deal on his deal, and this Holy Ghost said to me, you get that man down there. That man coming to this pulpit down here and talked about leaving a hog farm up there in Illinois and going down there to Haiti. And talked about the night them guys put that .357 to his head and raped his wife. And then talked about churches that withdrew their support because they said he ain't got enough sense to stay home and get his wife out of that mess. Took his wife and family back down there and still down there serving those people and baptizing and seeing them witch doctors get saved. I'm going to tell you one thing, that man's took a shaking. That sounds like a good missionary story. You put your wife and you put your kids in that deal, see if you can go back. We don't know what anything's about, folks. I'm telling you, there's been people had their lives so shaken up, you don't think maybe about it. Sometimes, as I said, the losses. loss of friends, loss of family, loss of finances, and loss of health. Criticism sometimes God uses to shake our life up. I've never been very welcoming to criticism. I believe we ought to give 9 praises to 1 criticism. I do believe that. But I tell you, not all your friends are the ones who's going to, some of your best friends you ever got is the ones who's going to tell you things that you don't want to hear. That's some of the best friends you've ever had. Reproof enters into the heart of a wise man more than 100 stripes on the back of a fool. But God uses criticism sometimes. Shake us up. Just shook our world up, you know. Why did they say that to me? Rebuke and reproof, criticism. God's simply washing away. You say, Reggie, what's God doing? He's simply washing away the sands of temporal values that don't last so we can get on the rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, He can use health to shake our lives up. He can use aging. Man alive, I went downstairs this morning and I started to run back up the stairs and something didn't work just quite right. And I tell you, I blamed it on my daddy. It was my knees. Daddy, you must have handed your knees off to me. He's already had 2 knee replacements. He did good. How old was you? 80-something before you had your knees replaced? About 80? I'm 56. I'll be lucky to make it to 60. And I trotted up them steps and my knees said, we don't want to do this. And I said, we're going to do this one way or another. But I thought, good land, if this is 56, you know what? That's what that basketball playing on concrete floors will do for you. I thought I'd throw that in. That stupid stuff. You thought you was indestructible at 18 and 26 and 28. You're going to do it. You know, you're going to be, they ain't, I mean, I can do it, man. I'm tough. Yeah, you're tough. You'll eat that when you're about 60. Amen. But aging, you know what it does? When I got to the top of the stairs, the thought occurred to me, Reggie, what if you can't get out and cut wood? What if you're hopping around the house here at 63 and 64 and them knees don't work? And what if you get depressed because you feel like you can't make your family a living? All of a sudden, the new glorified body gets to looking real good. Amen. He's shaking off this old temporal flesh, making you look forward to the day the Lord takes you home. I want to live here and love here. I hope I live to be 106. I'll do all your funerals. Amen. No. I'm just saying this, that the aging makes you realize, it shakes some stuff off of you. You ain't going to be here forever. It makes you realize, Jesus, it's appointed unto men wants to die. You're going to face God. You're going out of here. As I said, finances will shake. God uses finances. You know what? We've got a government that's shaky right now. And I'm going to tell you what God's going to do. God is, you say in the sense of that, who does God shake? Well, God shook old Job up in the Bible, didn't He? One day he's got 10 kids, 7 boys, 3 girls. He's got wealth untold. He's got the deal. And he's got a good, wonderful testimony. And watch this, being used of God. And God just blew his world apart. And did you know what? Job probably never could. In fact, I'm like the old boy said, Brother Bill Aiken said this, if you want the whole nutshell of the book of Job in one sentence, it's this: He's God and we're not. That's the summary of the book of Job. He's God and we're not. And God didn't have to explain to him what he's doing. But I'm going to tell you this much. I will look up in heaven and say, Job, thank you for letting God use you. It sure has been an encouragement to me down through the years. And there is no way to count the number of people that's been encouraged and strengthened and blessed by the life of Job, by the shaking that God put him through. Because they can say this, if God could give him grace to go through it, his big deal, surely I can get through my little deal. It ain't so bad. Amen. Let me just say this to you this morning. You say, really, what is precious to you? I'm just saying this, that Job was shaken by God. Then Joseph was shaken by God. I tell you what, that'd kind of shake you up, your brother say you're a slave, wouldn't it? That'd kind of shake your world up. You know, the very people that ought to love me and stand by me is the very people forsaking me and throwing me away. Jonah was shook up. He got shook up real good in the belly of that whale, didn't he? Got shook up. Daniel got shook up in the lion's den. You say what you want to. Oh, I bet. I don't think Daniel was just a whistling Dixie when he walked in there. I don't think God told Daniel, now, Daniel, you going in there, them lions ain't going to eat you. I believe he walked in there not knowing what God would do. You say, why do you believe that? Because I'm going to tell you this. The 3 Hebrew children went into the fiery furnace, and they didn't know what God was going to do until they got in there. And I'm going to tell you, God can shake your world up till there's nobody left but Jesus Christ. And that's where God's going. I'm going to tell you something. He's going to shake your world up until there's nobody left but Jesus in your life. Old Peter shook up. You and I will be shook up. I want to tell you somebody that never was shaken. And his name is Jesus Christ. Does ever anybody in this world that had a right to be shaken and was attempted to be shaken? It was him. I'll tell you what, when Jesus Christ at his arrest, you know what? The disciples all fled. They got shook and left. But Jesus Christ, you know what he said? I'm he. I'm the one you're looking for. I'm going to tell you something today. There's only one true man I've ever known or heard about in my entire life, and his name is Jesus Christ. There's only one person I've ever heard about in this world that never got shook up about anything, and that's Jesus Christ. And when he was arrested, he was not shook up. And when they took him down to be tried, he was not shook up. And when they lied on him, he was not shook up. And when they scourged his back, he was not shook up. And when they nailed him to a tree, he was not shook up. And I'm going to tell you something. You know what? There's something, I never did see the movie, The Passion of Christ, that was put out by Mel Gibson that made the big rage. But you know something? I know something. There's something in that movie that could not be shown. And that was the thing that would have shook Jesus Christ up more than anything else. More than all his physical sufferings, more than all of his physical pain and that he went through and the torture he went through. When he said these words, that's right, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Let me tell you, if there's ever anything that would shake a man up, you see, they wanted him to come down from the cross. But you know why I know it didn't shake Jesus Christ up? Because he had power to call 12 legions of angels to help him. But he was so unshaken that the Bible said he endured the cross. Let me tell you something. You're going to serve somebody, you make sure it's the right one. Jesus Christ, the right one. Amen. There's no power in heaven and earth can shake him. He's God Almighty. Nothing shook him. They put him in the grave and that didn't shake him. He come up 3 days later. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father ever lives to make intercession for you and I. And he's, by the way, can I tell you something? He didn't get shook when Houston voted that queer in yesterday. Did you know Jesus Christ told us that as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the days of the coming of the Son of Man? He told us! Queers are going to run over the country when the days are coming. He's coming back, dear friend. 2,000 years ago, Jesus told you what it's going to be like. You're reading in your newspapers today and you're seeing it in front of your eyeballs. You better get shook up about the coming of Jesus. What you better, I'm going to tell you, one of these days, the trumpet of God's going to sound, the dead in Christ are going to rise, and we're out of here. Amen? And then we're coming back. Anyway, you say, Reggie, what is it that cannot be shaken? Look there again at your text in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 27. And the word, and this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now listen to me real good right here, and I'm going to let you out in just a few minutes. Number one, I said our Lord cannot be shaken. I'm glad I serve a God that's never confused, never bewildered, never surprised, never shocked. Jesus, our Lord, can never be shaken. Second of all, I want to tell you something here today. In spite of all the fake and phony Bibles that's out there on the market today, this Bible is not shaken. Heaven and earth will pass away, and my word shall not pass away. Did you know you can read this book and place your life and your faith in it? It's going to be there. When everything else is blown away, this old book's going to be there. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth. The word of my God shall stand forever. You get yourself anchored in this book, friend, because you can't shake it. It's never going to be destroyed. Think about that statement. Heaven and earth pass away. My word shall not pass away. Did you know why? You know what they're trying to do? They've already shook up the faith of American people. You say, how did the devil shake the faith of American people? Anytime you start rewriting God's word and saying it's got mistakes in it and errors in it, stuff like that, you're shaking the faith of people. And we've got a generation of young people that don't even know, thus saith the Lord. Everybody's saying this and saying this, and God said this and stuff like that, and just shaking people's faith out. But you know what? God's allowing it. You know why? Because you see, I can't see in the heart. God knows what's inside my heart. And God will allow your faith to be shaken. God will allow your soul to be shook to see if there's really the faith. Do you remember when he talked about the tares and the wheat? Did you talk about the chaff and the wheat? So that chaff will get blown away. If you're blown away by that kind of stuff, that shaking's doing nothing but revealing you didn't have nothing to start with. You know what? You can get to where you start thanking God for the shaking. I'm going to tell you what God did with me on January the 24th, 1982. I was sitting in that church house. I told some men this week about the time I got saved. Donnie, you said about personal testimony is the best thing you can give him. That's all Paul did. He said, I was on the road to Damascus and God had light shone from heaven. God turned my life around. You listen to me this morning.
I was sitting in that third seat from the back with my oldest son sitting on my lap. God shook my soul up and said, if you don't get saved tonight, you're dying and going to hell. You're 28 years old and you've been sitting in this church for 28 years and you reject the gospel of Jesus Christ and play a phony baloney good works religion. I've had it with you and you're done. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you talk to God about it. I know what the Holy Ghost was telling me, and I don't think the devil would warn me to get saved. I believe the devil tried to tell me, oh, it's all right, Reggie. You know you're okay. You've been baptized. You've been to the altar 3 or 4 or 5 times during your life. It's all right. Then I believe the devil, that didn't work. And he said, well, what will everybody think about you? Now, you listen to me this morning. The Holy Ghost is shaking. I was in that seat right there. And you know what came over my soul? God shook my soul so hard that I finally said, I ain't going to hell over what anybody thinks. I'm not going to hell with a doubtful mind. I had the woe of sin on my soul, and I tell you, I was in the condemnation of all of my. You say, well, Reggie, I die. If I don't get saved, I will be lost. You're lost right now. You're lost right now. This second, you're lost. You're not going to be condemned. You're already condemned, the Bible says. You're lost now. Would to God the Holy Ghost would visit your soul and your heart today, and you'd say, oh, God, have mercy on me and save me through the blood of Jesus Christ. And you'd forget worrying about what everybody else thinks. Why do you want to die and go to hell? Would to God it'd shake your life up. I've seen mom and daddies. I've seen men who hadn't prayed in years fall on their knees in a hospital room and say, oh God, oh God, oh God. What is it going to take to shake you up? What's going to have to happen? How hard is God going to have to shake you? I'm going to tell you something else can't be shaken. Not only the Bible can't be shaken, but your salvation can't be shaken. I'm going to tell you one thing. The devil may shake at you and blow a wolf, may blow at your door and huff and puff and all that. He can do all he can do. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're saved. He said he'd give you eternal life and you'll never perish. Amen? John 3:16, half the people, I'd say 3/4 of people that say they believe the Bible don't believe John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have. They don't even believe it. You know why they don't believe it? Because they're shook up by the devil with doubt and lies. You listen to me. If it's not Christ, what am I going to do? If it's my performance, if all my righteousness is filthy rags, if the best I've got is filthy rags, what am I going to do to merit heaven? And if Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, if his shedding of blood and sacrifice for my sin is not enough, pray tell me, what is enough to get me to heaven? If Christ sacrifice. And why did he die? That's not my salvation. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. I'm going to tell you something. I've done put it in concrete and leveled it out. And set it in stone. I'm hanging my soul on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in my place. And for God not to save me, he'd have to be a liar. And he ain't no liar. He'll save you on the basis of what his son did and save you on no other basis. He's not going to save you Jesus 90% and you 10%. You better get that down, dear friend. If you've ever heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, you've heard it this morning. Jesus died in your place. It's your only hope. My salvation cannot be shaken. He said, I'm going to shake everything else out of your life, Reggie, but there's some things I'm going to leave that can't be shook. I'm glad my God cannot be shaken. I'm glad this book cannot be shaken. I'm glad my salvation cannot be shaken. I'm glad my hope cannot be shaken. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming in clouds of glory. Matthew chapter 7. I want to give you something for those of you that are saved. You can be saved but have a very shaky life. You know why? Because you're not in the book. And not only not in the book, but not applying the book. You know, Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Are you listening? Why are so many people's hearts afraid? Why are so many people shook up? Did you know the last thing he, watch this. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, Sermon on the Mount, Constitution of Christianity. Consolidated in 3 chapters and with greatest sermons ever preached, Jesus Christ put the contents in detail and in brief of all of Christianity. And did you know what he says in there at the end of that 7th chapter? He says, whosoever heareth these words and will do what I've told you, he said, your life will be built on a rock. And he said, when the winds and the rain and the storm comes, he said, you're not going to be blown down because you're built on the rock. You know what he's saying? If you go back over there and do what I tell you to do in these preceding 2 chapters, you live your life according to that book, your life will stand when the storm comes. You won't be shaken out. You see, listen to me. There's some things about shaking, but what God is saying, it's possible to be saved and you just don't live by the principles of the Word of God. Marriages are being shaken. Homes are being shaken. I said a while ago about this government. Now, you listen to me. The United States of America, if it's not shaken to revival by God, is going to be shaken to its knees by the devil. One or the other. This nation's in big, big trouble. But I'm hoping for revival. I'm praying for revival. I believe we'd occupy till it comes, and I believe fight the fight and hold the fort and roll and go. Amen? I'm just saying this to you today. I want every family. I want every individual. I don't want the marriages shook in this church. About every day, I won't say that I don't miss a day, but about every day of my life, I pray that nobody in this church will get a divorce. There's nothing that can weaken our nation. Nothing that can weaken our nation more than the weakening of our homes. You keep that home together. Don't you let nothing shake your relationship. If you have to, you grab your spouse by the hand and fall on your face and knees before Almighty God and say, God, have mercy on us and help us keep this home together for Jesus' sake. If you don't have any other reason to keep your marriage together, do it for Christ's sake. And if that's not enough, do it for your children's sake. And if that's not enough, do it for your family's sake. Keep your home together. You listen to me. We've been preaching on John the Baptist. You know what put John the Baptist in jail? Let me tell you, as quick as these queers get control of the government of the United States and municipality powers, you know what they're going to do? They're going to start doing what Herod did with John the Baptist. Listen to me. It was so bad in John the Baptist's day that just preaching against adultery would get you in jail. Mm-hmm. What'll it be when they went about preaching against sodomites when they get power? You listen to me right now. The sodomites get power in this country, folks. They are going to put Christians out of business. They'll have a Jesus, and they'll have a Spirit, and they'll have a Bible, and they'll have a gospel, but it will not be the Spirit of Christ, nor the Bible of Christ, nor the gospel of Christ. I'm saying to you this morning, from the time Bill Clinton was put in office, and the first executive order he ever made was to help the queers in the military. First one, I was sitting at a restaurant in Grove Springs, Missouri. They had the TV on, and he had just been inaugurated, sworn into office, and immediately put in an executive order protecting them in the military. We just well to have a queer in presidency right now because he is for, and I would tell you something, how in the world you can be part of a political body that supports same-sex marriage and stuff like that. I'm telling you, listen, God is going to shake this country revival. Or God's going to let the devil shake this country to its knees. Whenever 9/11 hit, there was a shaking went on in this country. God said, either to bring you down or to wake you up. I want to tell you something. You talk about stupidity, taking those terrorists and trying them up here in a civilian court in New York City. That ought to be a treasonous act. And every one of that administration ought to be arrested and tried and hung for treason. You say those are strong words. You ain't near strong enough. You know what John the Baptist said when that crowd come on the scene? You vipers, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Do you know what Jesus said when he came and preached? He said, you vipers. What is a viper? It's a serpent, a child of the devil. It's not Mickey Mouse business. My soul trembles when I think of what my grandchildren have got to face if we don't have revival. And I pray, you know what I pray? You know what I pray? If we won't be shaken to revival, I pray God will shake us financially till we're broke. That might make us get on our face and our knees. I know we all want our jobs, and I know we all want it, but I'm going to tell you something. Daniel wanted his life too, but they halt because of his nation's departure from God. They hauled Daniel off, and they castrated that boy. And you listen to me. You ain't seen nothing coming. If we don't have revival in this nation. I know I'm preaching to the deal here. Things that cannot be shaken. I'm glad that whenever everything else is washed out in this country, I've got a Lord, I've got a Bible, I've got a salvation, I've got a hope that cannot be shaken. I don't know what you'll be shaken with in years to come. You live long enough, they ain't gonna tell them what you'll see. Now I'll tell you what we're going to do right now. I'm going to give anybody in this auditorium a chance to get saved right now. God will save you so fast, make your head swim. You listen to me this morning. You leave outside. I'm going to get further down and give Christians a chance to get right with God. And I'm telling you this morning, if God's shaking you for your life, why don't you thank Him? Say, dear God in heaven, help me to endure the shaking so the things that cannot be shaken will remain in my life. God, thank God for the shaking. If God's trying to shake some junk out of your life, thank Him for it this morning. Whining and griping and complaining that God is not going to fix it. Amen? God wants to shake some things out today. If you're here today and you're not saved, here's what I want you to do. We're going to stand in just a few moments. I want you to immediately step out of your seat. I want you to hit one of them prayer benches right there and say, God, have mercy on me and save me for Jesus' sake. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If this is not a place for people to get saved, let's shut her down. If you're here today and you're a child of God and God's allowing shaking going on in your life, would you thank Him for it today? Let's stand together. If you have a need for the Lord today, you come. If you have a thing in your life that you want God to deal with, you come today. The things which cannot be shaken.